nothing but love. Please do so. Heavenly Father, please bless us with your presence. Please bless us where we need to be blessed in all aspects of life. Give us the truth we need today. Bridle my tongue and any tongue that speaks, so that you alone are glorified. Thank you for the humble hearts you give us in moving us off our pedestals of pride, giving us an opportunity to share our faith with others. Father, we have many that are on our prayer list that are in desperate need of salvation, especially those that are sick, that are not trusting you as they should. Please bring them in. Please bring the truth to them. If they won't listen to us, please send those that they will listen to. We understand the theology behind Titus 3:10, and so keep sending them, Lord. I'm giving them all two chances to share with them. Please cut their hearts, water the seeds, and bring the increase as you promise, if they are so worthy. And thank you for giving us the courage and the faith to stand firm if they are not. And please bless every one of us on the Sabbath day with a changing of the showbread so that we can have that much more to go forth and hopefully be worthy of the latter rain. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who alone is worthy. And we try our best to emulate his character. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." I've noticed this many, many years ago, and I've always posted it whenever I come across this verse to share with people that the first three letters of ask, seek, and knock actually spell ask. So he's not kidding here. Many Christians forget about this simple promise of our Lord when they need it most, and so they fail to pray when it would be most effective. And I find over the years that Quite often, major trials come to us because we haven't been seeking God as often as we should. You know, being lousy weather Christians, that does not make for a strong faith any more than visiting our parents when you need money makes for a good relationship with them. Still, even if we have a fairly good relationship with the Lord, in that we read his word daily and pray as often as Daniel did, what if when we pray, we ask amiss? You know, it says in James chapter 4, verse 3, that you ask amiss, or you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You know, this happens to be the number one reason most Christians never get their prayers answered. In other words, let's say for a moment you're a young person in the church. And then you, like most people today, seek a mate. So you pray to God to send you a mate. And as you pray, you may even describe the type of mate that you prefer. But as time goes by, that mate never seems to show up. Why is that? Well, the basic reality here is 9 times out of 10, most young people don't ask for a mate so as to have something they can, or someone rather, they can walk with in Jesus for the rest of their lives. They look around at their friends who have girlfriends and boyfriends and how they talk about the joys of the flesh. And so they don't really want a mate, as the Lord would consider the best choice for them. They want someone they can experience the pleasures of the flesh with instead. That being the case, how quickly do you think the Lord's going to answer that Christian's prayer? Well, the truth is, all too often, the Lord does answer their prayers quicker than they realize, but because their flesh-inspired features of a mate cloud their eyesight, when the Lord does send them the mate they need, they turn their back on the answered prayer so as to please the flesh and pick someone else. You know, being the end times as it is, the norm for society is that sincere prayer is nearly extinct in today's world. It's usually based on our own demands and not the biblical requirements of whatever the prayer is about. Worse yet, the only time we hear our political leaders and sometimes even our church leaders talk about prayer is when a major disaster happens. That's it. And so the mindset grows from soul to soul after decades of this kind of indoctrination, if you will, that God's only worth talking to when times are bad. I mean, this cultivates the mindset that makes God appear to be an order taker instead of a father. That way they can blame him when things go bad and he doesn't answer their prayers. That's what the devil's going for. They can, you know, they can also keep God out of their lives until they need him most, too, they think. I mean, the truth is, I actually saw this come to fruition more than once on the street. You know, one day I was sharing my faith with someone on the street, and an atheist walked up to boldly chime in as if he had the answers to love and life. I asked him, first of all, why are you so angry at God? And he said, because he knows for a fact he doesn't exist, and he doesn't like the way people waste time running around looking for him when they think they need him. All he sees of God is a way to cultivate despair, because God never answers prayer, and he's got proof. So I asked him why he believed the way he did, and he told me that he prayed for a dying loved one time for a whole 30 or 45 minutes straight, and the loved one died anyway. I then asked him how often he prayed for him before the day their loved one got sick. And he said, never. So again, when you look at God as an order taker, who you only need to go to when you or a loved one is in danger, well, then don't expect any prayers to get answered. Unless we have a relationship with him, it's just not going to work. And now, I'm not saying that prayers won't be answered the first time someone prays, because as the atheist illustrated, not all come to prayer with a preconceived idea that God is just a more than waste of time anyway. But they may never have gone to him before because they never knew to do so. So for the first time they go to him, they may be ready to go with a genuine heart of faith without even knowing it. Because we've seen that happen many times in the scriptures. And look at the thief on the cross. But even here, if the prayer is all about pleasing the flesh, well, then again, not much is going to happen. When the young Christian prays for a mate, or a nice house, or a nice car, or career, or influential friends, or expensive vacation spots, I mean, whatever, rarely do they pray for an increase in faith, a mate that loves the Lord as they do, a home that is within their budget that won't spoil their testimony, a car that is dependable and not flashy so as to glorify self, a career that will that can glorify the Lord with and still have time to meditate on his word daily, and even more time to simply be with him in prayer. Or, worst of all, hardly any Christians pray unto the Lord for the God-given wisdom that will show them how to make their Father in heaven smile. So as Christians, we should seek after a new and living experience with the Lord each and every day. We need to learn how to trust Jesus. We have to come to a place in our walks where we willingly reveal everything to him. We must learn to hide nothing, not even the embarrassing acts the devil has tempted us to lure us off the path. Yes, he already knows all, but to be willing to speak of our shortcomings with him, as well as our Christian desires to please him, shows us in him we really do want a personal relationship with him, and that, my brothers and sisters, will always cause us to get that much closer to him, wherein more light is visible, and faith naturally increases to where we receive the hug from heaven just when we need it. If we are to have the gift of Christ's righteousness upon us in abundance, we need to first deny the flesh and all the lusts of the world by clearing our minds of all the garbage even before we go into prayer. And when we go into prayer, we need to trust Christ and take him at his word. I mean, seriously, with all that we have seen him do, with all the prophecies that we have seen fulfilled, with all the miracles that we've seen over the years, to think that some of the promises in the Bible aren't as solid as they are is just strange, for lack of a better word. I mean, if he can do all those things and create all that is seen and unseen, why would he even bother to waste his time to sit down one day and inspire some patriarchs and prophets of old to pen the words that would help us today? I mean, why would he bother? We need to trust him and take him at his word. And the nice thing about that is he makes that part real easy for us. All we need to do is read his word daily, and then it will be that much easier not to ask amiss, because we will know by what we read that certain things are not good for us to pray for. We will know what to pray for and what not to pray for. And yes, I understand we will still have some gray areas at times, and this is where our relationship with each other can come into play too. And what I mean is, whenever we need an answer to something not found in the Word, we should ask an odd number of trusted Christians for their advice. And I say trusted for a reason. And wherever the majority lies at that point is God's will, just as it was when the apostles cast lots in their day. You know, our Lord's promises are the only ones on this planet, or in the universe for that matter, that can be trusted without question. The reason some of us fail in prayer is because when we ask, we often expect too little. We simply don't believe the promises are for us. At least that's how I used to think when I was a young Christian. I figured the big prayers were for the leaders in the faith, or the big answers, better yet. But then the word is loaded with events wherein the common man's prayer was heard quite often, and the man was justified and blessed by his faith. I can go on and on about showing many instances where this was the case in the Old and the New Testament, but I got to say that the one I found in Luke chapter 18 is by far my favorite, as it allows even the common man to see that his prayer is just as important as anybody else. Look at Luke chapter 18, verses 10 to 14. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood, notice, he stood and prayed thus, and with himself. Okay, God, I thank thee that I am not as the other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Yeah, he's pointing to the guy in the back of the church, right? He says, I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And then the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, or humbled. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know what so many, and this applies to the rich as well as the poor, but what so many people fail to realize is that all too often the poor man thinks God won't bother hearing him because of his low position in life, and the rich man thinks his prayer is especially favored because of his great wealth in life. But it is plainly stated in Acts 10:34, when Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now keep in mind, this was directly after Peter was told by God to kill and eat three times when that sheet filled with all those unclean animals descended upon him in that vision. Most uneducated preachers to this day, who only echo that which they are taught in the seminaries, by the way, they claim that that means we can now eat pork and other unclean foods, when in fact Peter goes on and explains why that sheet came down three times later on. That part they leave out. But to sum it up quickly, that sheet was filled with unclean animals, and it came down three times because God was sending three men to Peter to preach unto, who the Jews at that time considered unclean. That's why the sheet came down three times. Three men, and it was filled with unclean animals? Well, the men were unclean, according to them. That vision declared they were no longer to be seen as unclean. So again, whether you're rich, poor, young, or old, your God will hear your prayers. And you have his word on that. What I've also noticed during my pilgrimage upon this sinful orb is that most of us don't value, as we should, the power and effectiveness of prayer. The reason being is because we believe it's only because of us speaking when we pray. However, there have been many times that I can recall going into the midday prayer when I couldn't form two words together for the life of me. So it's not about us. Never is. As overwhelming as it gets sometimes, I simply don't know where to start when I go into prayer. And so, as I was instructed by the Lord many years ago, when this happens, I just walk in peace and seek the Lord's voice to remind me of what's most pressing at that time. And many times I'll even open my Bible so as to let him speak directly. That's why I have it on my cell phone. If I'm out in the middle of the woods somewhere, I want to be able to go and open up the Bible. You know, whether I do that or simply just wait on him to send thoughts onto me, I'm always reminded that the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that's, of course, Romans 8:26. So yes, we are weak humans, and yes, our words account for nothing. But his word accounts for all. And if we bind ourselves to his word, as the fisherman does with the anchor, then we will always have him close by, and it'll be smooth sailing. So if you're an obedient student of the word of God, you know that there are many instances where it describes how the Lord moves upon the minds of the people in the positions of power in today's world, or even back then. You also know how Satan likes to work on their minds as well. It doesn't even matter if you're a king or a pauper. Satan will do all he can to block the truth as we seek it, or even cloud our minds to make us pray ineffectively, or worse yet, somehow slow the prayer's answer, as he did with Daniel. He does this to cultivate despair and hopelessness. If he can get us into that position in our walks where we feel despair, then he has not only sufficiently destroyed our faith, he has crippled our ability to minister to others, and that is his main goal twofold. He simply cannot take the chance that, as a Christian, you can share some truths with people he has in his trophy case of hell-bound souls. And again, it doesn't matter if you're a prince or a pauper. In heaven, you're not going to have any titles. In heaven, you're going to be just as blessed as a king would have been. It's about, down here, it's all about statuses, I guess, with the way mankind runs his mind. But up in heaven, it doesn't matter. And the devil knows that. He knows that pauper, if he gains heaven, will be happy as a lark up there. Just like if he knows that, you know, that king, if he gains heaven, will be happy as a lark up in heaven. He knows what heaven's like because he was living there for a while. So it doesn't matter what goes on down here. It says in Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, Then he said unto me, the angel talking to Daniel in the vision, the dream that he had, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day, notice that, from the first day he started praying, it says, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. He's talking about Satan. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, or the better translation being the chief prince, if you look on my Michael the Archangel page, you'll know what I'm talking about there. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia for those 21 days. So one thing mankind can never understand is how this all works in heaven. Looking into it with the darkened glasses that Paul spoke of in his letter to the Corinthians, we might be tempted to see all this as heavenly politics, but I don't believe that for a minute to be the case when it comes to New Jerusalem. I do, however, believe this to be the case when it comes to Satan's kingdom, as it is rather apparent in how his pawns on earth play those political games, and they learn that father all from him. So in any event, Daniel's prayer was heard, but Satan did all he can to prevent the answer from coming quickly. That's why some of us have these long-term prayers. We have to keep in mind all of this because, I mean, seeing how our God is not a respecter of persons, Satan knows this and sees all of us from the king to the pauper as a threat once we step into the obedience to the God he hates. The truth is powerful when it comes from any lips. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. And angels are appointed to help in answering the prayers of those who are faithful towards eternal interests of the present truth as it is presented by the Holy Spirit. I mean, each angel has his particular post of duty, which he is not permitted to leave at any time without express permission from the Lord. I mean, after all, if he was to leave his post, his disobedience would allow Satan's kingdom to gain advantage. But this is especially true for us mere mortals in that we are that which both heaven and hell are very interested in. Heaven seeks us out for an eternal life of love-filled bliss, and hell seeks us out to devour us in eternal damnation and death. You know, the best of both worlds, I guess you could say. Because there's no other word to describe it. I mean, but I can't see anything best about damnation. I mean, but I'm just saying. So, but many of us that do the work know this is a daily issue for us. We are in constant battle. And rightly so, since we are always behind enemy lines, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No matter, I mean, Satan runs this world. You can't get around us. And us being here is a major threat to his global plans. This is why we're scattered the way we are as well. And so, as the soldier on the battlefield that is told to hold his ground till help can get there, we too must wait on the Lord as Daniel did when seeing an answer to his prayer that day. He waited 21 days, but the guy that pulled Bethesda waited 38 years. The woman with the issue of blood waited 12 years. As a people, we often fail to understand the great conflict that's going on between the good and the evil angels as we speak. I mean, the basic reality is it's all about our souls. When we do finally contemplate all this, it not only boosts our faith and the love our Father has for us, it also causes our prayer life to get that much better, seeing how we grow in patience, knowing first and foremost our prayers are actually heard, and as soon as the timing is perfect for the answer to be realized, it's going to come forth just as he promised. And yes, Satan may even slow the answer, as he did with Daniel, but we still need to keep the faith. This is why I like to repeatedly mention we need to pray as David and Daniel prayed so that the hedge of good angels stay encamped about us, preventing the evil angels from gaining ground in this battle we find ourselves in. I mean, in short, we need to pray as we have never prayed before. We simply are not prepared for the Lord's coming, or even the latter rain for that matter, as of yet, and so prayer and study is a must. The Lord also desires us to come to him in prayer so he may enlighten our minds, bless our hearts, and reveal to us the truth that will help us walk day by day. I mean, after all, only he can give clear conceptions of the truth we seek. So why not let him do so as he promised he would do? For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. I mean, it says that right there in Proverbs 2, verse 6. So even Solomon, as wise as he was, he too continued in prayer day by day. So why would we think we need to pray any less? He stated clearly in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I mean, we have gray matter for a reason, as well as a heart that'll help us to understand so as to grow in the faith, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So our Heavenly Father alone can soften and subdue the heart of his people in the midst of all that we go through in this sinful world, as overwhelming as it gets. Even if you're sitting, your head is spinning, you're trying to figure out, what do I pray for? It's just so much happening. Well, then just shut up. Get on your knees and let him speak. Or open his word and let him speak. I mean, only he can bless our understanding so as to discern truth from the many lies being proclaimed from millions of pulpits, or anyway, many. I mean, even the TVs and the magazines and the music and the video games today are loaded with nothing but lies. Only he can reform our confused mind with his truth and give us the knowledge and faith we need to endure the test. So we must pray, and pray without ceasing, so as to be, you know, to better understand his will, as well as grow into a more powerful prayer life. If the Lord heard Daniel's prayer, even though the answer was delayed, he will most assuredly hear yours, because he's not a respecter of persons. You are just as important to him as is the most powerful and richest men and women on earth, as well as patriarchs and prophets. Yes, we do see some political leaders committing crimes that the common man would be jailed for, but that doesn't mean they're going to escape God's judgment upon them. I mean, they could flex and show off all they want. That great and dreadful day is still going to come. They can blow it off and act like it doesn't even exist, even though they know it's coming. But because the Luciferians, they're going to claim it isn't, so as to further glorify their dying God. Our God is really, truly no respecter of persons. When that day finally comes, the richest and the most powerful will stand shoulder to shoulder to the poorest and the most common. And we're all going to answer for the unrepentant sins. So repent. Confess and repent. If we approach the Lord in prayer the way Daniel or even Jacob did, we know our faith will be blessed and our petition will be heard by the true King of the universe. We do not need to be a prophet. We do not need to be a patriarch or even a rich billionaire to gain the ear of our Lord. When he says he's no respecter of persons, he means just that. Still, it doesn't end there. As Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, we need to pray without ceasing. And the only way I know how to do that is to have a daily walk with Christ that proves to him every aspect of my day is his to do as he pleases. Every hour of the day, my thoughts are drawn to him now because I've done this for so long. Prayer needs to become a literal part of our existence if we are ever to see his hand move more frequently. But I will admit, it was very easy to do when he moved my heart to try to find it the first time, as you know, that position where I can get him in my hour the first time, just as it is for anyone else seeking his help. If you're sincere and you ask him, he's going to help you. I mean, still, we are weak, fleshly vessels with weak minds, and so we may forget to seek him out as often as we should. Just about every one of us, though, I know, now has a cell phone with an alarm clock in it, right? So set your alarm on your phone to ring a reminder to send off a short I love you up to him in prayer every hour if you have to. Before you know it, that alarm will no longer be needed, and you'll notice you think of him more than once every hour. When I learned to do that, I realized a joy and peace that never fades. Yes, trials still come, but having him so nearby as the fisherman in the storm with that set anchor, he makes the trials that much easier to deal with, whatever waves come our way. That's why I always say you can go through the trials with the smiles. His love is so real to me now because having him in my hour multiple times each hour has not only made my faith grow, But I have learned to trust him more and more each day. You know, I recall many years ago how this helped me out when I was tempted to despair because a brother in a faith that I've known for some time not only stepped away to embrace sin, but he chose to actually come against the truth as I am called to share, which showed Satan was directing his path. For a moment, I felt concern and grief for him, and even concern for the work all of God's people were doing that was also, and still is to this day, under attack. So, but then, within a few moments, a few short moments, the Lord moved my heart to smile when he hugged me with his truth to assure me all is well. Had I not had him in my hour as I do now, that hug may have taken days, weeks, or even months to be realized. Because I remember going through that in the past, where it did take days, weeks, and months. When we live this close in communion with him, the joy rises in our hearts in direct response to his love and care that he has for all of his children. Our joy is also blessed knowing with full assurance that he will not leave us alone to be spiritually slaughtered in our weakness. Jesus said right before he ascended back to heaven in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, right? So when you have a close walk with him, he knows you're trying your best, and he rewards your efforts with his heavenly influence each and every time, because that is his promise. And you can take him at his word. Not like mankind, where men and women will break their promises. He won't. Still, we need to know how to pray in a way that brings both a smile to his face as well as an answer to our petition. I mean, the bottom line is, it's not a mundane, routine, spiritualist prayer that takes hold of divine traits that brings us into a perfect walk with him. Prayer is only heard by the Lord when it comes from a heart broken by a sense of unworthiness. We simply cannot do anything without him. And when we have a close communion with him, we become very aware of our own weakness, which in turn makes us realize and rely on him even more. We realize we are so weak, in fact, that like David said in Psalm 18:35, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. The Lord gave us prayer to comfort us, you know, us in times of need, as well as in times of grief, or even in times of temptation, just to name a few. I mean, through faith and hope, which we know will never be ashamed or forsaken, we can trust the many promises of our God. If we ask, seek, or knock properly, the desires of our souls that hunger after righteousness will be filled. Truth is, brothers and sisters, you know, this is why I never ask for donations, other than to help others in the church family that are in need, or special church projects that require the church family to step up. I mean, asking man for help can be good from time to time, and in so doing, man on occasion will be moved to help. But praying, that moves heaven to action. And so, I've seen his hand move so many times in prayer that I prefer praying to him when it comes to the needs of my family, as well as the ministry that he has asked me to manage these last 30 plus years. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. We have to go to our God in prayer for each item, big or small, that we need in life. And that being the case, it is always Christ's righteousness that not only allows the prayer to be heard, it is his righteousness that causes it to be answered as well. Without a close walk with Jesus Christ, how can we expect our prayer to be heard, let alone answered? The Father is only going to listen to his Son. And when he looks upon you, if he sees his Son, he's going to be listening to everything you say. Even if it's just an inkling of his Son, if it's your first prayer ever. Because it was his Son's Holy Spirit that moved you to pray that prayer. Yes, there are occasions that kind of a prayer, when it's the first one ever, will actually spark the new foundation and relationship with Christ. But once we meet him and begin this walk with him, Without that daily communion with him, we will eventually be found to ask amiss time and time again. We are truly nothing without him. He who places himself where the Lord can enlighten him will experience a brighter light on his path, thanks to the love of our God. And I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.
Sacrifice and offering, thou didst not desire. My ears hast thou opened, and offering, sin offering, hast thou not required. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart.
Please kneel. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us on this Sabbath day with the changing of the showbread. Please bless our prayers, our prayer life, our walk. Please just guide us day by day the way you always do. But Father, thank you for having such long suffering with us, but we need to go more and more into the Word, and we need to go more and more into prayer. Because the times are getting very strange. And you called us to live in these days. And if this is the last generation, we have to have that latter rain fall upon us to go forth. And so thank you for blessing our Bible studies and our prayers and our times alone with you, just walking in the woods, if that's what we're, you know, desiring to do. But at the same time, Father, it's difficult for us to look on and see those closest to us and even complete strangers that don't want anything to do with you. And it's not an easy time to live. In fact, it's prophesied to be the worst, but you chose us to live at this time, and so you've obviously given us what we need to handle it. I mean, 1 Corinthians 10:13, we understand, applies there as well. And so bless us with many opportunities to grow in faith and courage, discernment and wisdom. Please let that latter rain fall upon your children and bless everyone on our prayer list. And we offer this prayer to you to the best of our ability, which always falls far short of the name we pray in. And that name is your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.